Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, head to our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
So, as Amy said, we are in our final week of this mini-series on formation, which I hope you've got it by now. Formation is about putting into our routines simple spiritual practices that help us become more like Jesus in our day-to-day lives. And I want you to just look at a little photograph. This is a valley that has experienced formation, this landscape. So water has been at work. It's been forming the rock, carving it into a different shape. It would have started just with a tiny stream. This is me going back to my A-level geography. A tiny stream created a little niche in the rock, which over time has worn into a bigger river, a gorge, and eventually this deep valley that you see. And spiritual formation is a similar process. Over time, as we lean into God, as we put habits into our lives, little by little, our lives are transformed. Our lives become carved into a different shape to reflect the character of Jesus. And over time, the difference that that makes is huge. So formation is about practices that we engage in that the Spirit of God uses to shape us to become like Christ. In our church, we talk about the big three. There we are. There's a big three booklet. This booklet is full of ideas to which are in reach for all of us, whether you're new to faith in Christ, whether you're established in your faith, or whether you're just exploring faith. And there are three ideas that we encourage you to put into practice in your lives. So read the Bible and listen to what God says. Pray your thoughts. Turn your everyday thoughts into prayers to God. And today, week three, we're going to look at how to guard your heart. The Bible is really clear about keeping our hearts right. It says in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So what actually is guarding your heart? And why do we need to do it? I would like you to start by thinking back over the past couple of weeks. What sort of things have wound you up the most? I suspect, if you're really honest, the things that wind us up the most, the things that get us most irritated, that rile us, that even get us angry, are not actually things at all. They're probably people. Guarding our heart is absolutely central to learning how to do relationships really well. So I think this scripture could equally read, guard your heart and get on with other people. So today, I want us to take this really practically, and we're going to be looking at how to get on with our fellow humans, because it's a crucial dimension of our formation. So we're back in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verses 25 to 32. I'm going to read it, but it will also come up on the screens. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Let me rephrase God's invitation for all of us in this Bible passage. I think it says this: the life God wants for you is that you would encounter his work in the deepest place of your heart as you meet with him every day. He wants the kindness and compassion that he has for you to overflow into every relationship you have. Whatever your background, you can have a growing reputation of being a really kind, wise, honest person, free from destructive anger, rage, and cynicism. When people think of you, they'll think, I come out of every conversation and interaction more built up, better understood, and more helped. That is God's invitation to each of us. He wants us to step into his magnificent wisdom for our lives and our relationships. So let's start by praying. Thank you, Father, for the truth of the Bible. Jesus, I pray that you would speak to our lives right now so that we can experience your transformation and your blessing in all of our relationships. Amen. Okay, so if we're going to live the kind of life that God wants for us, we have to consciously leave some things behind us. So I want us to start by being really honest with God and ourselves. And I'd like you to turn to the person next to you and look them in the eye and say this: we need to talk about your anger. We need to talk about our anger. Okay, thank you for doing that. Simmer down. So let me start by asking you another question. Oh my goodness. Okay, the conversation can continue in just a second with this. In your culture, or in your upbringing, or in your family, how did anger show up? Was it overt, or was it more subtle? In my family, anger showed up as being silenced, like facing the silent treatment, which I absolutely hate now. If you want to really get to me, silence me out. Ugh. Awful. There are going to be a couple of slides coming up on the screen. One is overt ways that anger can be seen, and the next one is subtle ways. So I'd like you just to have a little read through these, and then you can turn to your neighbour again and you can say, in my family or in my culture, this is what anger looked like. Was it overt things, yelling, shouting, slamming doors, etc.? Or was it more subtle things like that heavy sigh or the eyes rolling or the being silenced out? Right, you've got 30 seconds. Turn to your neighbour. How did anger show up for you? There are many, many different ways. As you can see, these are just some of them, of anger and how it can be expressed. But let's remember what it says in our passage. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and don't give the devil a foothold. Now, it's really clear, anger is not sin, but it's what we do with it that really matters. Let's talk about anger a little bit. Anger is an emotional signal. We all experience anger and we all experience different emotions and feelings. Anger is just a sign that something is wrong. We don't get angry about things that are good and right and just, do we? It's a protest emotion. Something's wrong, we get angry. So we need to become comfortable with this and learn to recognise the symbol, the signals. And then we have the choice to handle that signal well or handle it badly. If we don't read the signal, we won't resolve the problem. Something inside me is hurting. I'm feeling pain about something. And it could be about something that we've done, or it could equally be about something that's been done to us. So something could be wrong and it might have started inside of you. Perhaps you did something that you're not happy with, or you're cross with yourself, or maybe you're putting unrealistic demands on yourself or on other people, so you find yourself angry. On the other hand, that feeling of anger could be from something someone else did. It started outside of you. You might have felt excluded or taken for granted. You might have been controlled or judged, or maybe you've been unfairly or unkindly criticised. Now, I want to give you a little example. Okay, guard your ears if you're a bit anxious. How we respond to anger well? Well, anger is a little bit like a smoke detector. Smoke detectors serve a purpose. They get our attention, and that's the whole point. If that happens in the middle of the night, I have to get up and investigate why it's going off. Because if you ignore a smoke detector that's going off in your house, you might be in danger. Now, you could say, I can't hear anything. Don't like signals. I'd rather pretend it's all fine. Or you could just cover it up and pretend it's not happening. Or you could have a panic. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're doomed. What really happens is we need to pay attention. We need to identify the cause and we need to take action. Because when we know what's going on, when we know what the source of the fire is, then we can deal with it and we can reset our alarm. So when we feel anger or we experience any strong emotion, we have options. It's an emotional signal, it's not a solution. I don't have to let the emotion set the agenda. and I have a choice for how I'm going to respond. Now, this passage in Ephesians that we've just read speaks of three ways that people deal with anger, some good and some less helpful. You might resonate with these three examples that are going to come up. Don't vent, don't avoid, do build up. And as I explain them, you might think, oh, actually, that is how I deal with anger. So don't vent. Do you ever suddenly feel angry and a response comes out of your mouth before you've even thought about it? Immediate anger, immediate response. You feel something and you give as good as you get. Maybe it's somebody that cuts you up in the car and you just go, rah! Instantly, it just happens. And you might say, I'm just being myself. People, if that's what's happening, we need to aim a little higher. Immediate anger and then an immediate response is not a helpful way to respond. It says in Proverbs 12 and verse 16, a fool shows his annoyance at once. When emotions are running hot, it's very easy to come back quickly with a response. But the Bible warns us about this. It says, in your anger, don't sin. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, we just read in our passage. It's a little bit like polluting the environment with unclean talk, like a sewage leak. There you go. Polluting lovely clean water with filthy sewage. Paul says in this passage, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, here's a fascinating insight for you. Unchecked anger causes changes both in your body and also in your brain. And these changes occur in both you and in the person you're talking to, because anger triggers a release of adrenaline, and that sets you up with a fight or flight response. When that goes on, two things are affected: your processing power and your ability to empathize. Now, if unchecked anger is rising up, your ability to process emotions and thoughts and your empathy reduces. So adrenaline and unchecked anger affects the part of the brain associated with your capacity to do complex tasks like problem solving and decision making. And that will really make a difference in any ability to resolve relational conflict. Your ability to understand someone else's perspective goes down because you feel like you're under threat. So when you approach somebody with anger in your system, if the person you're speaking to experiences threat or fear, they won't hear you well, and you won't express yourself well. So really, that conversation is going to be doomed. It's not going to go well. We're going to give some pointers in a minute on how to calm things down. But venting, expressing anger without a pause and reflection is unhelpful. However, it's equally unhelpful to avoid the confrontation completely. It says in our passage, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. Sometimes it can be really tempting to choose to avoid facing a situation. But if we do that, we're not being truthful or honest. And actually, we might be robbing a person of the chance to grow. We can actually gain more trust with people when we learn to speak honestly and kindly to them. Conflict can be a real moment for clarity. So why do we avoid those honest conversations? Well, it might be that it's your personal version of cancel culture. Sometimes we are so outraged that we would rather ignore the person than talk with them. Or maybe you've just withdrawn at a heart level as a way to protect yourself. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. Maybe you don't know what to say or how to say it, or we fear making it worse. Or maybe we have a misplaced view of respect and honour, which means that we avoid speaking the truth because we don't feel that we ought to. Now, Andrew and I, as the senior pastors here, over the years, have had lots of people speak to us and give us the gift of feedback. People from all different cultures and backgrounds, people younger than us, people older than us. And I joke, but actually we do really consider feedback to be a gift. On a few occasions, it's because I've said something on a Sunday that's not been very helpful. Sometimes it's been an interaction in a team environment. The thing is, you see, that the way that I speak, I'm quite precise, I'm quite well thought through. I can come over a little bit clipped, a little bit harsh or cutting sometimes if you don't know me very well. And sometimes some dear members of my team have said, Rosie, you could have said that better. There might have been a better way that you could have come at that. you might have been able to communicate more kindly or more thoughtfully. And it is my honest belief that an expression of respect or loyalty is to speak clearly and kindly to me as a sister in Christ, because I want to do everything that I can to welcome feedback and make that as easy as it can be for people in my team and people in this church that we lead. And that actually is my expectation of any leader and any mature follower of Christ, that we won't be defensive, but will be approachable, and we won't withdraw or respond harshly, but will respond kindly, openly, and humbly. So feel free to give it a go. We have to learn to speak the truth in love. Overreaction or avoidance doesn't help. You know, Jesus was very clear when he spoke about this stuff. Maybe I'm upset with someone else, or I feel that they've wronged me. Remember what it says in Matthew chapter 18? If a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him. Work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you've made a friend. If he won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest, and try again. Okay, so if I'm upset with Cap, if Cap's been really annoying one day, I talk to Cap. I don't talk to Poi. I don't go find John and go, do you know what, John? Cap's been so annoying today. That's gossip. I don't share it as a prayer request. I don't talk about you, Cap. I talk to you because that is the Jesus way. I would add that Cap's not annoying at all. It's just an illustration. But that is the Jesus way, to talk to the person, not about them. Imagine if we did that all the time. We would be some of the most unusual people on the face of the planet, because that is so countercultural. How many of you in your places of work, your colleges, your going about your everyday life, just hear gossip happening all the time? We're Jesus people. We don't want to do that. If I think that you're upset with me, then I move to resolve it. Matthew 5, this is how I want you to conduct yourselves in these matters. If you enter a place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God. You know that our heart here is to create a community where we are growing to become like Jesus. So let me offer you two other things that aren't so helpful when it comes to dealing with anger. Number one, stacking up lots of small offences and then dumping them on somebody all in one go. That creates an emotional avalanche for a person that can be overwhelming. Don't do that. Also, parking an issue for now and then coming back to it months later. That's not helpful either, because it creates this feeling of uncertainty and insecurity, like any minute someone's going to come and tell me something that I did months ago that they found unhelpful and that I can't do anything about now. Don't do that either. That's not good. So what should we do? Well, it's really clear in our passage in Ephesians. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So read the signal and take action before the day is out. Now, that might not actually be very practical in terms of timing, but I think that what the Bible is actually saying is deal with things as swiftly as possible. So how do we actually do that? Well, we need to get into the presence of God, people, on our own, just us and God. You might want to go for a walk to get rid of some of that excess adrenaline and energy out of your system, and then be totally honest with God. God cares about your relationships, and he cares about you. Give him access to your life, your responses, your thoughts, the inner workings of your soul. It's okay to be honest about anything that you're feeling in your heart, any strong emotions, anger included. So ponder, reflect, sit with what's going on, think about it, slow your breathing down. Be honest with God and examine your heart and your responses. Have I followed the way of Jesus? Have I fallen short? Jesus is the good shepherd, and he can and wants to restore your soul. So in prayer, we do this trade with God. We give him all our emotional churn. Sometimes we don't even know what we're churned up about. And in exchange, he gives us his peace. We give him our grief, and he brings his comfort. We name our anger. I'm angry about this person, this thing, this injustice. And he can speak his peace into our hearts. It might take a little while, but the invitation is to recognise what you're feeling, reflect on it, and then respond. So before going to sleep at the end of the day is a really great time to check your heart, just in the same way as you might check your phone for unread messages before you go to sleep. Anyone else guilty of doing that? Just having a little check to see, is there anything I need to know before I go to sleep? Go figure, I don't know why. But check your heart for unread responses before you go to sleep. Why did I feel so upset by that person? Why did I react so much to that preach in church? Why did I snap so quickly at my children? Is there a message in your heart that needs reflection and response? In the presence of God, guard your heart. One simple, clear framework for this is some reflective prayer. Now, there are lots of these little cards. I'm not going to give them to you now, but I've got a present for you. This is a little card, and it explains the examine. If you prefer it on your phone, you can take a photograph of it. There are two piles here at the front, and there's a pile on the desk, on the table at the back there. I'd really encourage you to take one of these before you leave. The daily examine just gives you five really easy steps for how to guard your heart. And I would really encourage you to go through this process every day. It talks about being still, becoming aware of the presence of God with you. Giving thanks. Where did you sense God's presence today? Reflect on your day and your responses. What's been going on in your heart and your actions? Pray. Choose one joy, one frustration, or one bit of your day to prayerfully reflect on. Bring it consciously to God. Say sorry to God. You might need to forgive somebody. Let them off your hook. And then hope. Look forward with hope and anticipate God's presence with you tomorrow. So take one of these, keep it with you, try using it before you go to sleep, keep it in your Bible, go through it once a day. This has become part of my daily routine and one of those things that I do to ask the Spirit of God to form me to be more like Jesus. Right, so don't give the devil a foothold. If you only listen to your anger and you let it take root, it gives the enemy a foothold. That term foothold speaks of a strategic advantage or a point of entry. So don't give the devil any opportunity to exert his destructive influence over you or over this community of believers that you belong to. If you go through life unreflective and unwilling to be present to God, you miss opportunities for the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you into his truth. Okay, so we don't vent, we don't avoid. What should we do? We want to be a people who build one another up. Verse 29, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So building up is how we're meant to talk to each other all the time, not just in times of conflict. When we do have a conflict, the goal is to express truth in the kindest, most compassionate, most constructive way possible. But your preoccupation should be to make every exchange as life-giving and helpful as you can for the other person. You want to build that person up, and that doesn't usually happen without putting some thought in. So craft your words. Come with kindness. Listen well. We come to honest conversations with nothing but grace and humility because we're aware of the kindness of Jesus to us. So just imagine with me, what would our homes be like? What would our church be like if we became exceptional at doing this? There's nothing like the local church anywhere. In every other space in our communities, people have gatherings around their similarities. We're of the same political persuasion, so we hang out together. We have the same background, so we hang out together. We support the same team, so we hang out together. We're the same culture or the same background. You get the point. But the church is God's mosaic. The church is the place where God takes all sorts of different colours and shapes and textures, broken people, some with sharp edges, and he places us side by side, and through us, he makes Jesus visible. As a church, we are becoming more and more diverse every week. There are so many ways that we could unintentionally, and hopefully not intentionally, offend or hurt one another. Jesus wants his church to be a visible expression of his kindness, his compassion, and his wisdom at work. So how is all this possible? Well, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is on hand, empowering us to be his people. God the Father is at work. He is forming us into a family, Alan and Carol spoke about the feeling of family when they come here. When we're adopted into God's family, we become sons and daughters, and that makes us all brothers and sisters. And in healthy families, they work things out. And as we follow Jesus, we get to understand what kindness and compassion is, and we give to others what we receive from Jesus. Remember verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. And the Holy Spirit is moving. We've seen that unwholesome talk grieves the Holy Spirit, but helpful talk welcomes his presence. So we learn to give the Holy Spirit space to operate. We make space for him to influence our community when we apply God's word to our relationships. And so I'm really aware that we're out of time. This is not, and this hasn't been, a series where we're inviting you to try harder. That's not what it's about. We're not saying you need to try harder to do all these things and put all these things into your life. No, formation is to welcome the river of God's love into your life so that his love would shape the landscape of our hearts and that would overflow into all of our relationships and our communities. So I want to invite you to stand, and we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to do just that. Holy Spirit, we know that you are at work in our community. We know that you're at work in our hearts. We know that you're at work every day. And we want to welcome you to change us and form us and carve us and transform us to be more like Jesus, the one that we love. So Holy Spirit, would you come now? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you continue your work of transformation? Your work of formation in our lives. We invite you to come now and do your work. Yes, Lord.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
We'd love to welcome you to one of our gatherings. We meet in multiple locations at multiple times on Sundays, as well as in midweek small groups across the city. More information on all of these can be found at our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day and God bless.